Let's get into the Word this morning. But yes, I will say again, on the fishing trip, we had a wonderful time. God blessed us. I think we had to have two boats, and I think the other boat had the same report we did. Our first lure was in the line in the water 5 minutes, and we started reeling in fish. You need to understand how big of a miracle that is, because the day before he went zero, they didn't catch anything. He says, I don't even want to talk about how bad it was. And then that Sunday morning, it was too bad to go out. And he was like, I was afraid I was going to have to call you guys and cancel. I said, well, we had already prayed about it. As a matter of fact, Monica was the one, she said, I prayed that you have a Peter type of experience fishing, because she prayed for it for her. She said, we caught over 100 fish. Well, we caught some big ones. The biggest one was 25 pounds. And it took two guys to bring it in. And to tell you what a miracle that was, Harold's over here reeling. I don't know how long he'd been reeling, at least 20 minutes or so. I mean, he's not getting anywhere, honestly. It's not even on the drag anymore. He's just spinning. And they say, oh, you got to mature. Well, the line over here starts going, oh, fish on. Well, it's Dave's turn. Dave's in there. And then we get about, what was it, maybe 75 yards behind the boat. And they said, we think they crossed. So we're not for certain if you even have a fish. Well, then at that point is when we realized Harold's line broke. And they get it in a little further, like, Dave, you got a fish. And they pull it in, and it was Harold's lure in its mouth, but Dave's line had caught the lure. God was not letting that one get away. Praise God. I will tell you, it was a fantastic time. And I didn't get sick. Woo-hoo! Found out later I should have taken the Dramamine the night before, not half an hour before we got on the boat. But I will tell you this was an experience. I said, Lord, I thank you. I don't drink anymore. I was like this every time I tried to walk. I stopped for a bathroom break. And I'm like, oh, Lord, hold the wall still, Lord Jesus. I went to bed and the room was spinning. I'm like, oh, yeah. Don't miss this feeling at all. Nobody else really had it. I mean, did you have it, Rob, for a while? Just a little bit. But great time, good time. So, we are going to get back into Word in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Peace and holiness are the things you're supposed to pursue. Remember what I just said a little bit ago about Roscoe? You're to pursue in hot, like you want it. We always know in the storyline, Roscoe always wanted the Duke boys, right? You have to want peace. You have to want holiness in such a way that you are willing to put your very life on the line. Because you know, if you ever watched the show, you know exactly what happened 99% of the time. Roscoe wrecked. But we won't wreck. Because we've already talked about the three-cord rope, right? Us, other people in our lives, and God, the Godhead. With those three, we will not fall. If we fall, it's because we chose to fall. We chose to not pursue peace. I remember one time I had a conflict with a neighbor here in town. I was absolutely within my rights. City came in and said, oh, absolutely. Said, I'd have done that years ago. But as I'm doing what I was doing, God said, did I not call you to peace? Now, I built a wall to hold my driveway. My driveway was very narrow, went between houses, and was very steep on the one side. And I had already slid off in an S10 and was sitting on it one day like this. And missed the guy's house by 6 inches just because that's the way it sloped. Another guy in a four-wheel drive Dodge got stuck, and my Chevette pulled him off. But the reality was, God said, I called you to peace. I had to move that wall. I made that wall so it wasn't moving. I drove spikes into the ground, and a spike from that one into the next railroad tie, and that one almost went into the ground. That wall was a pain to take apart. And the Holy Spirit said, if you'd have just listened the first time, you wouldn't be out here in the heat grumbling about having to move this wall 8 inches over so he could walk by a little easier. So we have to pursue peace. In this case, the word peace is the word Irene. It is a feminine noun. Y'all know words are feminine and masculine? We'll talk about that here later. But particularly in a civil sense, in this case, with other people. We all want to find peace, zen, right? A place where we can go, oh. Well, you know, if you can walk around with peace with people, you can have that. Why do we want to start fights with everybody? Why do we want to start wars? Harmony. But in this case, it's talking about more of an absence of confusion. 1 Corinthians 4, oops, I didn't write this one down. But 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if your mind is confused right now, understand that's not God. God is the author of peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The Jews that practice Judaism, when they enter a home, shalom. And if you've watched The Chosen, there's another bit, but you can just say shalom. And that means peace. And when they leave, shalom. They leave their peace. So if you ever read the scripture where Jesus said, if you didn't get along, do not let your peace dwell there. I.e., don't say shalom on your way out the door. Take your peace with you. So confusion means unstable. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it's the word that means unstable. When you're confused, you're unstable, right? The word says, don't let any man who is double-minded think he's going to get anything. He's unstable in all of his ways. He has confusion. I believe God saved me. Oh, but I've got all these sins. God forgave those sins long before you ever committed them. You, however, do need a sanctification. And there is, as Peter and Paul both talked about, a process. You can't just say, well, Jesus, you just took all my sins, so therefore you took all the problems. No, I still have things to deal with. I still have things I'm battling out. But I'm sanctified. I'm holy. And I strive each day, and it's through his power that I can overcome. Perhaps pursuing peace is finding stability in what we believe and do. You need to believe once and for all that Jesus Christ is the only true way. Most false religions in the world, they will say, Buddha said, I am a way. Islam, I am a way. Confucius, I am a way. And they all believe that Jesus is a way. But Jesus said, I am the way. In essence, so folks, they've got a little bit of truth to them. Buddhists are seeking peace. The Islam, they wanna honor Allah, God, right? That's what we want too. Go figure. In Hindus, I'm not for certain what's going on there. I mean, they find anything that they can think they can worship, they'll worship it. They just don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to offend that God. That's why I've said before, if you want to worship or you want to go on a missions trip and lead hundreds to the Lord, go to India. And I got that from a missionary that was in India. Because what they'll do is they will take a picture of Jesus and they'll set it next to their idols. They don't want to offend any God. As Christians, our beliefs absolutely must emanate from the teachings of Christ, not a modern interpretation, which widens the gate. Remember, we talked about Jesus said, narrow is the gate that leads to life, but wide is the gate that leads to destruction. We like to grab hold of the gospel that keeps pushing this one out a little further and then this one out a little further and further and further until, what's so hard about this? I can be a Christian. I don't have to be any different. Are you really a Christian then? Your Christianity should shine before you in the way, one, you treat other people. All people. The Bible doesn't just say, treat your brothers and sisters here in the house good. Treat all people. Jesus said, if you greet only your brethren, how are you any different than the tax collectors and the heathen? In essence, we're still supposed to treat each other outside with common courtesy, common respect. But so many people teach that, no, we don't want anything to do with them. How are they ever going to get saved? How are they going to see Jesus if you aren't there? If you don't have the light, how are they being attracted? Everything is attracted to light. Everything. Bugs, animals, people. If you're out in the dark and you don't know where you're going, but you can see a light, you're going to go to that light. And that's what we're supposed to be. That's why the writer of Hebrews said to pursue peace. That means a stability, no confusion. I don't want any confusion with my brothers and sisters, and I don't want confusion with people in the world. Now, holiness, hagios osmos, it's a masculine noun. Remember, peace was feminine. Holiness is masculine. You know what happens when a male and a female get together? They produce something. We'll get there. It's a process, is what it means. To sanctify, a separation unto God, the act of God's free grace in justifying sinners, but also the result of that justification upon the sinner in making him just and equipping him to recognize the rights of God on his life. Your life is not your own. Now we teach and we tell people, especially when we're trying to win to Jesus, it's free. Salvation is free. And it is. But it isn't. It'll cost you your life. Refers not only to the activity of the Holy Spirit in setting man apart unto salvation and transferring him into the ranks of the redeemed, but also enabling him to be holy, even as God is holy. We get saved. I've told you before that God took things away from me right away. Then there's others I had to fight. And I still have to fight them. Because they're a natural desire. There are things that we desire. If you cannot tell the truth, you will have lies everywhere. I know people, they don't know the difference between truth and a lie because they lie so much. But it is a process in which we allow the Holy Spirit. There is no condemnation, which is judgment. And in that case, it's guilt. There is conviction. The Holy Spirit says, you know you shouldn't be doing this. You know you shouldn't be here. If you've been an addict and you're hanging out in the bar, you shouldn't be there. Addiction is addiction. Things that control our personalities. I think I shared years ago about another pastor whose stepdaughter went into rehab. I think she was down by Circleville. And they said, absolutely nothing. You're not allowed to have pop. Well, why not pop? Okay, just because caffeine is legal and sugar is legal, you take it away from some people and they go nuts. It alters their personality. Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. you need to get over yourself. No, you should. I mean, I get it. You wake up. I'm a little groggy when I wake up. I'm like, okay, I can't deal with a bunch of stuff right now. Give me about 15, 20 minutes to get my brain working. There was a time in life I could jump out of bed and deal with stuff right away, right? I've learned something. You get a little older, you need a little more time. You know, in progression of things, you know, I used to be that diesel locomotive. It could get up to speed quicker than the steams. Yeah, you know, you actually kind of get a little older. Yeah, now maybe I'm a good old steam engine. I still get the job done, but it takes me a little longer to get moving. The second part of Hebrews 12:14 says, without which no one will see the Lord. Does anybody need to know who no one is? It means nobody. Self-explanatory. No one will see God without pursuing peace and holiness. Well, God has called me to war. You need to understand something, folks. Even our U.S. military's job is not to start wars. It's to secure peace. I believe it was George Washington who even said it, and then Metallica later. To secure peace, you have to prepare for war. But we wanted to secure peace. There's a huge monument at Jacksonville, North Carolina. On it are the names of 213 Marines and sailors. Some of whom were still sleeping when a suicide bomber drove through the guard and the barricades and blew up Marine barracks in Beirut. And by the way, the guy was dead before he ever hit the first bunker. The Marines killed him. But the truck was rigged not to stop. And on that memorial says they came in peace. They weren't there to cause problems. They were keeping peace within the factions. Their presence was all that was needed. But the faction that really wanted it bad said, we have to kill. We don't want peace. We want domination. And you need to understand, when you're dealing with people like that, there are no rules. The Geneva Convention means diddly squat. Y'all need to, you can't pee on their Quran. I just won't record it. You can't waterboard them. Oh, but they can do it to us. Sounds like, I better shut up. Pursue peace. Yes, I will pursue peace. But no one will see the Lord. The word see simply means perceive with the eyes, discern visually. I can see you. I can see Harold's wearing a blue shirt. I can see Caleb still as tan as ever. I can see. I'm visually seeing. I can see the expressions on your face. Thank God most of you are smiling. But I'm perceiving that. But I don't think it just means we'll see God. Just in that. Because there are six different words that Jesus used just in the Gospels of when he said see. It's translated see, look, behold, perceive, and things like that, okay? But there are six words. One is vlepo. It is used, 40 verses where Jesus actually used that word. We translated it sometimes see. Gets a little confusing. That's why the English language is so confusing. These six words, and none of them say the exact same thing. But they convey a particular message. Another one is eidon. It's used 166 verses. And eidon means to examine, perceive, behold, know how to do, to see with mind's eye, to know, as see, it was used in 78 of those verses, just to visually see. Vileppo, again, means to see, to look to look like, to rely on, to look longingly, to propose, to beware, to behold, and to look for. You have to know what it's talking about. And Jesus didn't use words arbitrarily. You know why? Because he is the Word. Jesus is not going to use words arbitrarily and waste the word. Because in the Greek, each word brought about something a little more visually in your mind's eye, so to speak. So to see God means a little bit more than just see with your eyes. Hebrew or Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That, the pure in heart. I believe in order for us to see God, we must strive to purify our hearts. We do. Again, I haven't even gotten to the scriptures yet, because we simply, somewhere along the line, think that we can get in a prayer line and we're pure. Never mind the fact you walked out the door, cussed the person who parked too close to your car. Is your heart really pure? No. Let's be honest. You got upset. They're parked way too close. I'm just going to tell you right now, they are making parking spots closer and closer. There's some, I back my truck into, I'm like, I'm almost on the line over here. How much? She's like, you ain't got any room over here either. But yet my truck's not going to get any smaller. And I'm going to keep parking in here, so I got to suck it in and think skinny thoughts. And it's getting harder and harder these days. A pure heart is a clean heart, undefiled by the desires of the world, power, authority over brethren, fame, glory, etc., right? All of those things the Gentiles seek after. Luke chapter 22, now there was also a dispute among him as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. People want to rule in the body of Christ. I want a position of authority. That's the first time I hear that out of somebody. Just so you know, I already chopped you off the list. You want it too bad. You want authority over people. Folks, I don't want authority over you. But God said you need that. You're going to do this. I have a spiritual, but you go out and be the fool and do whatever you want. You're on your own. But I have the responsibility, even as it's Hebrews says, don't let too many people be teachers and rulers. God will judge us by a harsher standard. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, right? But good, because he knew I could handle it. But I'm telling you, I've seen so many people who just wanted that authority. They had a little kick. And so they made people do what they wanted to do. It made no sense what they wanted to do. And I've done some things like that before too. Just because that's the way I wanted it. But they thought it was making people holy. Listen. You and Jesus have a thing to work out to be holy. I can't say you can't wear a Hawaiian shirt and be holy. Yes, I'm going to hell too. By the way, if you think, well, I just don't think that, you know, it's too bright of colors. Have you ever actually seen what the high priest would have wore? He had precious stones in a chest plate. They all had colors. Yeah. He had a thing above his head, a little sign that said, holiness unto the Lord. We were looking at this Nazarene church years ago when we realized we needed a building. And right above the thing, I said, oh, Jesus, right there it is. I was like, maybe that's a sign. Right above the pulpit, it said, holiness unto the Lord. That was not to be, because God had other plans. Thank you, Jesus. But he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? This might have been a lot easier to say in the Greek. Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. This is the Word. This is a part of the Godhead. This is the man who walked on the water, who told the storm to stop. This is a man who cast out multitudes of demons, who healed the sick, raised the dead, walked right through groups of people who wanted to kill him. And he says, you're sitting here arguing over which of you is the better leader. Did you ever notice that when he left, they actually left too? They all went their own ways. Eventually, they were all split up. Because it's not what God had. God didn't want us holding up right there. Oh, I'm a leader. Good for you. You better be the high priest in your home. You better be the leader. Your children need to see. Your wife, your husband. Jesus is telling them, you're all sitting here arguing about, and I'm standing here serving you food. You know, most of you have caught on over the years. When we have dinners, I'm not in line. I drag my feet, and I try to eat last. Some of you are trying to get behind me. Good for you. Good for you. And I mean that. That's respect. I don't do it because of this. It was actually a leadership trait that I learned in the Marine Corps. I wasn't an officer. I was a non-commissioned officer. But the officers were not allowed to eat until the troops were fed. In boot camp, we were given a real close idea of that because the drill instructors couldn't eat until we were through the line. But I'm going to tell you right now, those men knew how to suck down a plate of food. There were times I'd no sooner just get sat down, everybody get out. I still got half of my food. You've got snacks back here in the hut. I know you do. I've seen you eat them. Didn't stop me. I gained weight, 20 pounds, so much so that my own mother didn't recognize me. But you see, I don't do that because of that. But most of the times I'm going through there, I'm actually talking to somebody, ministering to them. But it works out. I still get to take care of people. That's my job. Years ago, some of you were there. It was at our first kind of leadership meeting. It was people who were serving. Were you guys there yet? At our house? Anyhow, I know we were in our dining room where we did it. And we washed people's feet that night. No, you guys weren't there yet. Okay, so it was early on because you guys were there after 6 months. We sat down and we washed people's feet. Most of them we did not know. Oh, now you're telling us about, you're just so holy. No, I'm telling you because we really don't think we're better than anybody else. But you're no better than me. I'm not that dumb. I have confidence in the abilities God gave me. I have confidence in my Savior. That if I come up to something I don't know how to do, He'll show me how to do it, how to get through it. It never fails. I don't get my panties in too big of a wad. If you're offended at that, well, must mean you're not wearing any.
Oh, Jesus.
Now you're really offended. Jesus warned them about wanting to lord over people. To truly serve God is to humble ourselves, giving preference to others, sincere preference, not the type that makes a big deal about it. Look what I did. I eat last. I do it because of a training, primarily. It just works out. But if you're lollygagging, that's what I've had to finally do, and I don't say lollygagging, if you're trying to give preference to me, I've had to learn to let you do that. So I've had to go. And there'd be a row of guys just waiting for me to get my plate and go sit down. So I've had to learn to let them do it. Just like if you're, well, I always give. I don't want anybody to give to me. I need nothing. It ain't about you. It's about them. They have to give you something. But I don't need anything. I have all that I want. And they want to give me $10. I don't need it. It's not about you. God told them to give you the $10. One, so you'd humble yourselves and receive a seed from somebody else. And God told them to give it to you, and they probably already know you don't need it. They needed to be obedient so God could work a miracle in their lives. Humility is the backbone of Christianity. So when we have pride and arrogance and you need to open my door, I'm going to stand here. I really want to just kick people in the seat of the pants that act like that. Open your own stupid door. You don't need me to open your door. I know some ministers who are like that. That's why I'm saying this. They wouldn't go through the door. I was like, I want nothing to do with this. This is pride. Anyhow. Proverbs. Let me get my time frame. 27:2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I didn't have to tell anybody what I was doing. They just perceived and they did it. But now that I've told you, well, it's there. I'm an example. I try to be an example. Angela and I have come to understand a word that was given to us years ago about the type of ministry we'd have. And the man said, you will teach as others have not taught. Now, in my personal life of pastors, three out of the four have fallen. So their example was not a good one. They lorded their authority, some of them. One thing I learned is, okay, you know, in the Marine Corps, I had to learn to call somebody. Even though I didn't respect them, I had to call them sergeant or corporal. I had to learn that. It's respect. Not necessarily for them, because some of them were not great people. It's called respect for authority. You respect the position. Now, most of you in here call me pastor. You do well. And if I tell you we're together, just call me Art. You can call me Art. It's my name. I've grown into it. I'm comfortable with it now. But when you do that, you're showing God you respect the authority he put into me and into your life. There are people they refuse. They will never have the right relationship with anybody. Why? Because they think they're better. I know that one firsthand because I know people who refuse to do it. And their life, I wouldn't. My dog has a better life. And he begs for scraps. Do not toot your own horn. Matthew. I got it out of order, didn't I? Yep. Let's see. Okay, well, that's where I was wanting to stop. Yeah, that's it. You can shut it down. That's where I was wanting to stop because the Holy Spirit's shutting me down. Because the next step is talking, I'm going to tell you about acting like a child. And some of you may not talk to me afterwards. I don't know. Just so you know, nobody's face came to mind when I was writing. Yes, because I think I'd be looking in a mirror for most of it. I'm like, yeah, I got a little bit of that. Still, oh, yeah. You know, the whole calling names thing. Call people jackwagons, morons. But the purpose of the scriptures is to help us. We need to see Jesus through the eyes of peace, through the eyes of holiness. The people that are wearing their shirts or their tattoos that say, only God can judge me, they don't know God. You ain't kidding, he's going to judge you. Guess what? I don't want to be judged. Why? Because my Savior taught, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. And I'm going to tell you about that little judging yourself. You need to be as cruel to yourself as you are to your neighbor. Yeah, ouch. Judge yourself the way you judge the other people. I always find that when I'm feeling high and mighty on my drive, I pull out in front of somebody. And, you know, you can panic and jam on the brakes, right? It's like, chance, you're getting hit now. If I pulled out in front of people, I go ahead and get on it. You can ask Johnny. It wasn't a semi, it was a dump truck. I was like, well, ain't no point in stopping now. Johnny's gonna be on my lap in a minute. But we had to get out in the road. Didn't break the truck free. We didn't fishtail or anything. We got going down the road. Trucker may have flipped me off. I don't know. But I have to be careful when I'm driving myself. What, you sound like you were just a little judgmental about the person that rear-ended that motorcycle. I told you to pay attention. That person's going to be judged. Do you understand this? They are at fault. And if the man dies, it's vehicular homicide. Things change. And especially if they were on their phone. And yes, they can prove it. They track your text. They text when that text came in, when it went out. And if you do not have Bluetooth in your phone, I suggest an earbud. One, you need to hear what's going out. Even when I'm not weed eating, I put them both in. But if I'm working in the shop or somewhere, I put one in so that I can hear everything else. And my truck connects to my phone, so I don't need to. But you see what I'm saying? We're getting to the point. We have to make sure that our duckies, are in a line. That's called getting to be holy. I need to make sure my household is in order. Well, my kids ain't serving the Lord. Well, pray for them. And don't you dare stop praying. Understand something. Your prayer means more than mine in their case. You have a direct line of influence into their lives. Pray for them. My mom used to, whenever I did get a chance to call, she said, and I always knew what she meant. How you doing? Just pray for me. She knew what that meant. Judge yourself first. Start judging yourself. And I'm not talking about condemning. I'm talking, yeah, I handled that wrong. We'll talk about this more next week. Because there's like three more pages of notes just on this section. And it's not stuff I created. It's stuff from psychologists. One references Psychology Today, so I didn't have to corrupt it. I'm sitting there reading, I'm like, oh, Lord, yeah, this is all the stuff your word talks about. Everything they're talking about, childish behavior, everything, your word talks about every bit of this. So we're going to talk about it. All right, let's stand. Yeah, 1 Corinthians is where I was supposed to end. So that'll be the first one we pick up next week. Because Paul was telling us, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. But now that I've become a man, I put away childish things. And that's what we will be looking at. So again, if you're thinking you want to do next year, let me know. Because they want to try to keep it to 4 persons per boat. And he's going to give us this year's rates for next year. So I just need to know how many boats to start securing. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the redeeming power that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. Father, help us to judge ourselves properly. Not too harsh, but not too light. Father, that we will judge ourselves fairly and squarely by your word, by your standards. Father, and when we fail, remind us of your grace, that you're not condemning, but you're bringing us to a state of complete sanctification. As many of our Bibles put it, perfection. So, Father, I thank you for your work in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that these people will not falter because they see they've judged themselves and found themselves wanting. But, Father, rather they will see that's an area right there I start. Help them to focus in on this. And, Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. We do, Father. Those who was on this trip, we thank you for a wonderful time. For the fellowship of our brethren, Lord, we are grateful for that. Father, we have started creating bonds of friendship and camaraderie with one another. Now, Lord, I thank you for your people. I bless them, Lord God. I bless them in their journey. Father, I bless them in their endeavors. I thank you, Father, that you will bless all that they put their hands together for good. In Jesus' name, amen.